Please do be seated. As I've already said, we've set this week aside to review our finances as a church and to think about the implications for our individual giving. And that's what we're going to do now. We're going to begin by looking at God's Word, the Bible together. Andrew Budd's going to read for us, and then Michael Davis is going to preach for us. So let's turn to Luke chapter 16. You'll find that on page 1050. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 to 15. And before Andrew reads, let me say a prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, you speak to us clearly in your word, the Bible, about having a godly attitude to money. So as we look at the Bible together now, please give us humble hearts to hear and respond rightly to all that you say to us in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." This is the word of the Lord.
Please do keep that passage open. We're going to be referring back to it during the talk today. I'll pray as we start. Father God, thank you for your word, the Bible, and thank you for teaching us about all elements of life through it. Please show us how you want us to live and how we can serve you. Amen. Well, as Martin mentioned earlier, we're having our giving review today. A chance to think about our church finances and our own finances, and thinking about how we can serve God with our money, both as a church and as individuals. It is admittedly a bit awkward to talk about money, particularly in English culture. It's not really something we do, is it? If you're ever looking to absolutely kill a conversation at a party, start asking people about their finances. People just don't want to do it. Money is one of those things that feels too personal to talk about sometimes. But money is such a fundamental part of our lives that it impacts on practically everything else. And so it's not surprising that Jesus has quite a lot to say about it. Our passage today helps us to think about our money and our lives and how we can use everything we have to serve God. We're going to think about it under two headings: trustworthy stewards and of which master? Our first point is trustworthy stewards. Let's read verses 10 to 12. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Now, this passage is the second half of a section on stewardship. That is, what we do with everything God has given us. In biblical times, the steward was a sort of senior servant, responsible for gathering rents from the master's tenants, taking care of their business interests, and looking after their investments. If you've seen Downton Abbey at all, it's the role that Tom, the Irish character, went on to play for the family. Just a bit of reference. The steward was responsible for the master's money and land and other resources. And the Bible casts us in that role as well. We are God's stewards. Way back in Genesis 1, when humans were first created, God gave us the role of caring for and ruling over the world for him, on his behalf. The world and everything in it are God's. He's the king, the master. But we are his stewards. It's our role to look after it on his behalf. And so whatever we do have, it's our responsibility to use it on God's behalf and for his benefit. So our money, our time, our energy, our homes, everything we have is given to us by God and should be used for him. So our passage today is predominantly focused on money, but the same principles do apply to anything else that we have. To understand the passage fully, though, we need to understand Jesus' perspective on this. It's not just a passage about spending money. It's about understanding that our lives on earth are temporary, that everything we have belongs to God and has been temporarily entrusted to us. So we need to use God's resources for his purposes, the things he values. In verse 10, we are to be trustworthy stewards. So back in biblical times, a good and trustworthy steward would know what their master valued, and they'd use the resources given to them to further those interests. So if the master was interested in commercial success, the steward would make smart financial decisions, using the money wisely, investing it, making sure they had plenty of sound business interests to maximise their profits. If a master was interested in the welfare of their people, then they'd ensure the rents were fair and that workers were paid well. Well, our role of steward is to use God's resources for his purposes. Now, this isn't necessarily how we naturally think. We're inclined to view our money as our own. We may think, well, I've worked for this money. It's mine to do what I like with. Or, I'll definitely give God some of the money, but the rest, that's mine. But Jesus says that's not the case. Everything we have is a gift from God. He's entrusted us with everything we have. And so what we do with it really matters. We need to use it for his priorities. Well, we learn of God's priorities in the Bible. And we see it in particular in the life of Jesus. Throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus teaching people of God, showing them his love and helping those in need. His compassion for the lost was such that he went on to die in our place, giving everything he had to save his people. His priority was saving the lost, spreading the gospel, growing the church, and helping the needy. And so if we are to be good stewards, then these need to be our priorities too. With our money and with everything else, we need to think first of how we can use them for God's glory. What good can we do with our money? How can our money spread the gospel? How can we help those in need? How can we show our love to others? I think it's helpful to note that this doesn't draw a distinction between what we spend on ourselves and what we give away. God gives us whatever money we have to provide for our own needs as well as those around us. But even the money we do need to live can be used to glorify God. Obviously, we need to eat. But can we use our food to serve God? Maybe inviting someone around to share a meal with us. We need housing, but how can we use our homes to glorify God? We may need transport. If we have a car, how can we use that to help those that don't? So everything we have is from God. The money we spend, and the money we give. And we're called to serve God with all of it. Well, this can be a fairly daunting prospect, but we need to see it with an eternal perspective. Verses 10 to 12 emphasize the need to be trustworthy stewards, but they also give some reasons why. Well, through Jesus, we have already been given great riches. We have forgiveness of our sins. We have friendship with God. We have an unimaginably amazing eternal future. In Jesus, we are rich, even if in worldly terms, we may not be. Well, these verses aren't calling us to gain, to earn future rewards by our faithfulness, but rather to demonstrate where our hearts are. God has given us so much. We want to emulate that in our lives, in our generosity and in our dependence on him. If we're trusting in God's generosity to us, and we're trusting in the fact that he even gave his son to die for us, well, that's going to have an effect. Our lives and our beliefs need to marry up, to live by God's generosity, and yet to show no generosity to him or to anyone else. It's pretty incongruous. Acting as a good steward shows that we've understood God's grace to us, whereas acting like a bad steward points to the fact that our priorities may not be in line with God's. Our priorities need to line up with God's priorities throughout our whole lives. Everything we do must be wholeheartedly for him. So the first half of the passage is about how we are, stewards. And in the light of that, how we should act, how we should give, how we should spend. But the second half of the passage takes it even further, challenging us to think about who we're serving. So if our first point was trustworthy stewards, our second point is, of which master? Let's read verses 13 to 15. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You're the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." Jesus uses the picture of a servant with two masters working two all-consuming jobs simultaneously. For those of us that are not natural multitaskers, that may give us a headache just thinking about it. Having two jobs at a time must be utterly exhausting. But Jesus is going even further than that here. He's showing us the impossibility of having two different masters, two different sets of priorities. We can't live wholeheartedly for Jesus and for ourselves. Our hearts can't be divided here. They're either with God or they're with money and our comfort and status and ease that comes with it. And so Jesus is asking his hearers, who are you serving? Are you living for me or are you living for yourselves? Well, the Pharisees didn't like this at all. They were known for their piety, their devotion to their religion, and their rigid adherence to religious rules. They were highly respectable, and they went out of their way to ensure that they were respected as super religious and super godly people. We're told that they obeyed all the Old Testament rules on giving, donating 10% of all their income to the temple, and even giving a tenth of all the herbs they grew in their window boxes. They gave away lots of money, but their hearts weren't with God. In verse 15, Jesus called them out. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight." Jesus is telling them, you're keeping all the obvious rules, but it's not about that. What's more important is loving me and serving me wholeheartedly. Well, I imagine many of us, when we were younger, were asked to go to the shops for our parents. My dad would occasionally send me up to the shops to get a newspaper and a loaf of bread. And if I was lucky, he'd give me a couple of quid and tell me I could keep the change. Well, when you got to the shop, you've got a couple of options. You could buy your dad's preferred paper, the Romford Recorder in our case, And a nice loaf of King's Meal for lunch. Maybe have 20p in your pocket at the end of the day. Or you could stop in, get the free advertising paper, a loaf of day-old Daisy Fresh sliced white, and half a kilo of pick and mix for yourself. For both options, you've done what was asked of you. But your attitude is clearly revealed, isn't it? You either show respect and love for your parents, or you show selfishness and disregard for what they want. And that's what Jesus is warning the Pharisees of here. And he's warning us too. He's telling the Pharisees that their attitudes and their whole lives need to be in service of him. He's asking where our hearts are. Are we devoted to money or are we devoted to him? So when money is tight, what do we think? Do we envy people who have more money? Do we tell ourselves that our lives would be inherently better if we were wealthier? Or do we work hard at contentment, trusting in God's provision for us, and looking forward to heaven where there will be no financial worries at all? Or in the times when money is maybe more abundant, what's our first thought about when we get the money? Is it about what treats we can spend it on? Or is it about how we can glorify God with our money? When we think of our future, do we trust more in our pensions and savings, or do we trust in God? Jesus isn't being prescriptive here. He's not laying down rigid rules on exactly what we may spend our money on, how we have to spend it, how much we should save, how much we should give. He's not standing here saying, give more money. He's encouraging us to consider our hearts and our attitudes, to set our hearts on him, and to commit to serving him with everything we have. Well, as we close, let me encourage you to think about this one question. Which master are you serving? Clearly, none of us can perfectly serve Jesus in this life, not this side of heaven. But how can we serve him more wholeheartedly? How can we encourage ourselves and each other to grow in him and to align our priorities with his? Let's pray. Father God, you are so generous to us that you deserve everything we have. You have given us absolutely everything. We ask that you help us to better align our priorities with yours, to be devoted and wholehearted stewards of what you've given us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.